Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I send you a message. You send me all kinds of messages right back. Except my message was in response to your messages all week. And now you're sending me more messages. I wish I could respond to all of your notes and your messages and your tweets and your Facebook posts. I'm trying to like them all as I read them. Thank you so much for your kind words. And again, my message was supposed to be in response to your messages all week, and now you're sending me more messages. if you haven't seen my solo A-Law edition of Pre-Law, well, it's on Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our show Twitter or on my Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page. And again, I'm sorry I do not have time. I would not get my packing done. I wouldn't make it to the airport. And I have to be at the airport in 28 hours. I would not make it to the airport if I responded to all of your posts and your tweets individually, but I appreciate them so much. It's nice to know that I'll be missed next week, but far more importantly than that, it means a lot to me that you know my heart and that you know this other calling that I have in my life. And I'm really looking forward to a week of hanging out with kids and teens and teaching and sharing and playing kickball and going to the beach as a field trip. And it's a youth week. We're doing a youth week in Cuba, kind of like you would do with a camp with your kids here in the United States, or maybe a VBS, if those of you who know what VBS is. It's kind of like that, and it's going to be as much fun for the kids as we can possibly make it. I'm even bringing the trophy. So I have one full duffel bag of gifts and supplies for the Cubans and also for the youth week itself. And I'm bringing 50 something bandanas because they're dividing the kids into the red team and the blue team. I'm bringing flags, red and blue. Don't ask me why they want flags, but that's what Camilo asked for. And then they dropped me a note and said, could you bring El Trofeo? Which is the trophy. So I'm carrying a trophy in my suitcase.
What's up, buds?
Oh, not that trophy. Unless Alex Ovechkin of the Capitals would like to lend me the Stanley Cup.
Yeah!
Could you imagine me traveling from Newark, which is where I'll depart from on Saturday, to Havana with the Stanley Cup?
It's basically nuts.
Oh my gosh. Now my little trophy feels so inadequate. Oh, I don't think that the Stanley Cup would fit into my suitcase. I mean, taking a big suitcase, but I don't think it would fit. Anyway, so yeah, I'm even taking El Trofeo, and I'm excited. I'm excited to go back and see the friends that I made in Cuba the last couple of years. Only get to see them once a year. And I'm also really excited to work with the kiddos. It's going to be fun and hot. And that part's not super exciting, but whatever, it comes with the territory. So thanks again for watching the video, the pre-law edition with A-Law, and also your messages on Twitter and Facebook. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Before I get to, we've got some calls and also want to drop in some football sound because we've got training camps already underway. Did you know the Baltimore Ravens had their first practices on Thursday? What? So the Ravens are back in training camp, and pretty soon every other NFL team will follow. I actually pulled up a list of the dates, full training camp reporting dates for both rookies and for veterans. If they're separate, in some cases they are the same. The rookies for the Ravens actually had to get to camp on July 11th, so they had a very short summer. And the veterans on July 18th, and they practiced for the first time on Thursday, the 19th. The Jacksonville Jaguars rookies already reported this week, as well as the Dolphins rookies. It's going to be all kinds of crazy by the time I get back. Someone's got to keep track of the training camp news, because I'm not going to be able to follow anything. There will be no social media or Wi-Fi or internet access for me in Cuba. So if I miss something, Chris and Isaac, you need to keep a running list, please. Tablet, find a just find a notepad and write it all down.
You can't read the internet.
Which is why it's going to be written down on a notepad.
Also can't read my handwriting, I promise.
Oh, really?
You that.
Huh. Well, then what are we going to do? Can you type it up?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. I had to do this a couple of years ago when I made my first trip, and it was 10 days, and it was right in the middle of football preseason, and I felt as though I was detaching a limb from my body, not knowing what was happening. And wouldn't you know, within 2 hours of being in the airport, having returned from Cuba, we had a long layover in Miami. Within 2 hours, Tony Romo got hurt again in his first preseason game. Within 2 hours, that it was almost like my welcome back. You wanted a big story, you wanted some controversy. Well, here it is, and then that was the beginning of the end of the Tony Romo era in Dallas, because of course they had drafted Dak Prescott and Romo never went back to being the starter. So yeah,
I really believe that Tony Romo will play in a Super Bowl.
He may call a Super Bowl. So again, it's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Before we get to your calls though, did you all see that the NFL released its merchandise sales information for the second quarter? The Stuff Dreams Are Made Of 2018 rolls on for Nick Foles. How about this? From March to May, fans bought more of his merchandise than any other player in the NFL. Not to mention they're buying his book like nobody's business. How in the world did Nick Foles have time to write a book? From February to April, the man was in high demand in terms of media interviews and appearances, both sports and news and entertainment networks. And somehow he has time to write a book.
Maybe that was his way of decompressing.
282 pages. Maybe he keeps a journal and a blog, and that is his way of coping with life. So yeah, Nick Foles on top of the merchandise list. Do you think he wrote it all with a pencil? Or is that a stenograph? A lie detector test? Foles one. Anyone want to guess who number two is? Come on, guys. Guess. It's fun. What? You're not going to guess? Are you all cowards in there?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Thank you. Number two. Number three.
Russell Wilson.
Nope. Russell Wilson's not even in the top 10, believe it or not. I kind of feel like Russell... Carson, yes, number three. I kind of feel like Russell Wilson is flying under the radar, for heaven's sakes, even though the man started two Super Bowls and has a ring and is married to Ciara. That's her name, right? Ciara. And became a father not that long ago.
I had doubt in the play call.
Number five is Dak Prescott, who I just mentioned, Cowboys starting quarterback. Guess who number four is? I'll give you a hint. Has not played a snap in the NFL yet.
Baker.
No, actually, that would be a good guess when I give you that hint. Think about market size. Saquon Barkley has not played a snap in the, has not even gotten into training camp yet. For
no,
heaven's sake. And he's number four on the NFL's merchandise sales list for the second quarter of 2018. So Nick Foles, Tom Brady, Carson Wentz, Saquon Barkley, and Dak Prescott. Top five. Here's your next five, and then I will get to the calls. Aaron Rodgers, Ezekiel Elliott.
What in the f*** was that?
Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you think Aaron got a bump because he's dating Danica Patrick? Jimmy Garoppolo, Odell Beckham Jr., and Derek Carr. That's your top 10, but only for the second quarter. Things could change by the time we get to the fourth quarter, and fans get disenchanted with their quarterbacks and they're calling for a QB change. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Trey is waiting patiently in Fort Worth. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Miss Lawrence, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Well, I had a couple points I wanted to talk to you about, but the end of your last segment kind of, like, made me think a little bit. And I'm not sure exactly what you said, but you said something along the lines of...
Wait, it made you think a little bit, even though you don't know what I said?
Well, no, sorry. I misspoke. I don't know word for word what you said, but you said something along the lines of how it's difficult, like, getting into sports and stuff like that. And I was going to say, like, when I first heard your show, I was kind of hesitant to, like, get into it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, like, my own fault, whatever. But I'll say that you're my favorite broadcaster now.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that makes me happy. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you gave me a chance, but I'm also glad that you like what you hear.
Well, no, I mean, like, I'm guilty just like everybody else of, like, judging like that. But that's the thing is, like, the coolest part about you is how much you love sports as a whole versus, like, you know, individual sports or, like, you're, like, non-biased, you know what I mean, which is awesome.
Good, good.
But anyway, so the point I wanted to ask about was what you thought about Gregory coming back to the Cowboys, because I'm kind of, like, cautiously optimistic, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that the NFL is reinstating him is huge because one thing we know about the NFL when it comes to its drug policy, it's pretty stringent, and it's not really they don't leave a lot of windows because, and you probably know this, but from people who don't, the first time you get popped, the first time you fail a drug test, they don't even suspend you. All they do is put you in the program because they actually want to help you, theoretically. And then the tests become random and there are more tests. And incrementally, the more that you either fail or mess up, maybe miss a test, then, you know, the punishments become more difficult. And to the point where they really make you jump through a lot of hoops. So the fact that he has done enough for the NFL to allow him back into the league, to me, speaks volumes. Let's hope that he is cleaned up, you know, his life, that he's gotten the focus to the point where he recognizes that he is on the verge of throwing away a career, one that he's worked really hard for. I mean, Josh Gordon went through the same thing, right? He spent a couple of years outside of the league before he finally realized what he was throwing away for the sake of alcohol and pot. And so I hope that Randy Gregory is in the same situation where he makes the most of what is now like a third or fourth chance.
Oh, definitely. I mean, opened my eyes to it whenever I just read a story recently. One of the writers of Star Telegram here told the story of Randy Gregory, you know, and like what he's gone through and, you know, why he continued to use, you know, after he knew he'd get in trouble and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. My thing is, like, they put alcohol and pot into the same category, whereas, you know, they shouldn't.
Well, it's only after you're in the program, though. Right. So it's it's not for NFL players who haven't had any issues in the past. Again, that's my whole point, is that once you're in the NFL program and you can't keep up with the testing, you can't stay clean, they really do crack down. They're serious about it. They don't want guys who flunk out of the league because they're addicts. They're actually trying to offer support to these players. It may seem it may seem like they're all about their rules and their discipline, but what they're trying to do is make sure that when guys are out of the league, you know, they're stable and they have a positive outlook and they're not addicts and they're not falling into those traps. So NFL cares.
I get that to an extent, but at the same time, it's like in that story, Randy Gregory even said that the class was unnecessary for him, like the way it was set up, because it was set up for like addicts, you know, like alcoholics or drug abusers or whatever. And he's like, I'm not an addict, you know, I'm not a drug abuser.
Except he couldn't stay clean, though. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. He was using it because it worked for him and it wasn't, you know, harmful to his body. But that's neither here nor there.
I mean, if you're an employee of the NFL, just like if I'm an employee of CBS, it doesn't matter whether or not I think that I should be able to do something. If I sign a behavioral clause, I have to abide by it.
Yeah, I just think that they should separate the programs because they're two totally different vices. You know what I mean? But I guess the other thing, sorry for taking up so much of your time, but the other thing was the, I forget her name, who's the girl that was on the PGA tournament?
Brittany Lincecum.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. At the same time, I'm like, why hasn't it always been like that? And I don't understand how the process actually works. Like, how does a girl get that chance to be on the tournament, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, generally, and it doesn't obviously happen a lot. It hasn't happened in a decade. But generally, she's issued an invitation, or she has to go through a qualifying process, same as the guys.
And does she play from the same, like, tee boxes as them, too?
She sure does, which is why she knew that driving was going to be an issue. Yeah, she's not given any special assistance or any special help. She has to play as though, same rules as if she were a guy.
Yeah, I just think that's crazy how they only, like, let one. You said in the last 10 years, like, that's pretty crazy.
Well, I don't know if they let one, Trey. They just... they may not have a whole lot of women who want to do this. This was a goal of hers to try to make a cut. So I'm not sure that there's, you know, dozens and dozens of women who want to go out there and try to compete against the guys.
Yeah. I mean, I've played golf against some women that are pretty amazing and they kick my butt. You know what I mean? Even playing from the, you know, closer tees, they destroyed me.
Well, it takes a man to admit that, Trey.
Oh yeah. You know, I just guess, I don't know. It just blows my mind that it's taken this long. And like you said, like, they're not even highlighting it or anything. It's like they're trying to bury it or something, you know?
Yeah, no, I just think there's a lot of other stuff going on, and maybe it's not – it hasn't happened in a while, but it's not Michelle Wee, so it's not new. Thank you so much. I have to let you go, but I appreciate your phone call.
All right, thanks.
Good to hear from Trey in Fort Worth, and I know we made him wait for a long time, which is why it was okay to give him a couple extra minutes. Hey, it's a Facepalm Friday, and coming up, you've got the latest. What should we do? Should we do tweet or should we do phone call?
Phone call.
All right. So Isaac rules phone call, and so we'll let you hear one of the calls that made us laugh this week for sure. Thanks again for all of your tweets and your Facebook posts. You can check out the video, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, hurtling our way toward the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We somehow have managed to secure the official weight of the Stanley Cup. It's amazing the things you can find on Google. So it would, in terms of weight, be okay for my suitcase. It just, I don't think it would fit in my suitcase. Maybe in my large duffel bag, but that's already full. 3 feet long and 35 pounds. So you are allowed to take up to 50 pounds in one bag. So I'm sure it has an official carrying case. Maybe I could take that into Cuba with me. Wouldn't the Cubans love to see the Stanley Cup? I'd have to explain to them what it is, though, probably. Trust me, the NHL hockey, not so popular there. They laugh sometimes when I bring up that sport as well as American football. They don't know a whole lot about American football either.
It does have an official carrying case.
Of course it does. Yeah, there's also decoys. I bet there are decoy carrying cases, too. So in case you're attempting to steal the Stanley Cup.
Like an armored car for the president in a caravan.
That's right. They do decoy caravans so that you don't know which one he's actually in. Serious business, this Stanley Cup. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I love, 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 love all your Facepalm Friday gifts that you have posted on our Facepalm page. I mean, for now, anyway, it's a Facebook page, I guess, whatever. But we've renamed it, at least for this particular show, our Facepalm page. And so some of these gifts I've seen because they are the best ones. But there are others that I've never seen before. There's a Jim Carrey where he's not just facepalming it, but he's attempting to pull his face off almost, which is kind of like Jim Carrey. And there's also a great Batman one. And so that one I love.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, the cartoon Batman. Fozzie as well. And for some reason, J.R. Smith stuck in there. He didn't really do a facepalm. It was just a moment, of course, in the NBA Finals that made a lot of people want to do a facepalm. So I love these gifts. If you have other ones, please feel free to send them to our Facebook page. That they will make you laugh. If you don't have a gift, just go check it out on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get back to your calls, too, 855-212-4227. But why do we want your facepalms? Because it's a hashtag Facepalm Friday.
The facetious, flaky, and farcical.
We're morons.
Checking out the fallacious feedback of the week. It's time for Facepalm Friday.
Chris is listening in Seattle. Chris, welcome to After Hours.
Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Yes. Did you used to run a... I've got a couple questions for you. Did you and Mr. Nasty used to do a show together?
Sir, I have no idea who that is.
Well, a pitcher that... It was fed to Seattle, and I loved the two of you together.
Well, who are you talking about?
Well, Peter, forever, who was very opinionated. He's probably not called Mr. Nasty, but did you co-host?
I may have done shows in the past in my previous network with a pitcher or had a pitcher as a guest on my show, but I never did a show long-term with a co-host who was a former big league pitcher, no.
Okay. Excuse me. Well, here, everybody thinks in national sports radio that we're in Siberia or something. Do you have a history with the Seahawks?
Do I have a history with them? I mean, I've spent a whole hell of a lot of time talking about them.
And you were married to somebody who was a kicker for us? No.
No, sir. I've never been married.
Okay, so
who in the world are you thinking of?
I don't know. But anyway, I'm old. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Bye. Poor guy. I wonder if we caught him in the middle of a REM cycle.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
We now know that he was talking about Amy Van Dyken, who is married to Tom Ruin, and did a show with Rob Dibble. But, you know, Amy, honest mistake.
I don't know.
I'm old, he said.
But anyway, I'm old.
I'm like, okay.
I don't know.
You should have seen our faces when we fielded that call from Seattle. I think my favorite part was, are you married?
I don't know.
Do you have a history
anyway,
with
old.
Seattle? He said, do you have a history with Seattle?
Do you have a history with the Seahawks?
With the Seahawks. Even better. Do you have a history with the Seahawks?
No.
And then he answered his own question.
No.
No, sorry. Hashtag Facepalm Friday. I tried to play it as straight as I possibly could, but that was good stuff. All right, 855-212-4227, because I have to go record a CBS Sports Minute. 855-212-4227. 90 minutes to freedom! Oh, wait. I don't want to get too excited. Sorry. I know some of you have to work on Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The 0-1 by Martinez. Hayward swings. Pulls one into right field. It's through for a base hit. Cubs have tied up the game. Anthony Rizzo comes home. An RBI single for Jason Hayward. 3-all. Cubs and Cardinals here in the fifth inning at Wrigley Field. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven to deep right field. Fowler goes back. Looks up. It's gone. A two-run shot for Ian Happ. And the Cubs extend the lead. 6-3 here in the fifth inning over the Cardinals.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Not a bad way to kick off the rest of the Major League Baseball season. Roughly 60 plus, so about 62, 63 games to go for each team, depending on how many rainouts they had before the All-Star break. Cubs and Cardinals, the only game on the schedule on Thursday night, but it sets the table for what's to come. If you look at the standings, actually, the Cubs have built themselves a little cushion in the NL Central. It's now at 3 games after they start out with that victory on Thursday over the Cardinals. The Cubs radio network, Len Casper, with the play-by-play. Brewers will start out this next segment. I don't want to say second half. It's not really the half. They'll start out this final run of the regular season, these final 2 months, with a series against the Dodgers. And this one is really intriguing. So the Brewers went into the break getting swept by the Pirates in 5 games, which is very rare, a 5-game series. They lost 6 in a row going into the All-Star break. Now here they are, behind the Cubs by 3, and they welcome the Dodgers. Manny Machado will be introduced on Friday in Milwaukee, actually, because that's where the Dodgers are reconvening following their week away. And so this is a critical series for both the Brewers and the Dodgers. Dodgers have just a half-game lead atop the NL West, and 4 teams are within 4 games in the West Division as we go into this summer stretch and then the stretch run. Oh, there we go. Now, see, that wasn't too hard, Amy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line here at CBS Sports Radio, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Not only is it these final 2 months of Major League Baseball before we get to October, but it's also the start of training camps all over the NFL. Michael Crabtree with the Baltimore Ravens. So you got to get your rosters out. You got to figure out where guys have gone in free agency. Crabtree could have had Dez Bryant as a teammate, but of course Dez turned down that deal from the Ravens. So it's Crabtree or bust now. And he was one of those new veterans reporting to Ravens camp.
Excited. I couldn't sleep last night. You know, I don't know why. You know, you're going to have a football game or something, but it was new team, you know. New teammates and first day at war. I mean, training camp.
Training camp. Hashtag training camp. Yeah, the Ravens are one of the early teams that are into a full-blown camp. They had their first practice on Thursday. So every time I look up on the TV, or periodically, I'm seeing John Harbaugh at a podium talking about the start of training camp, and it whets my appetite. Not as much as the smell of my charcoal grill on Thursday. Oh, so heavenly. In the midst of all my craziness, I decided, you know what? I've got some fresh veggies. I had summer squash, both green and yellow. I had a red pepper, and I had some onion that I wanted to cook so that I could not leave it in my fridge while I was gone. I mean, I didn't want to chuck it, and I just wanted to eat it. And it sounded like it would be really yummy grilled. So I thawed out a piece of steak, and I threw my steak and all my veggies onto the grill. I bought this new bag of charcoal that promised instant light. No lighter fluid, and none of those, like, little starter blocks. You know, sometimes you put in a fire starter block with your charcoal. I'm not kidding you. All I did was light up a couple of the briquettes, and within 10 minutes, it was full flames. In fact, I put the veggies onto the grill, and I had to, they started to go up in flames. So I had to put the cover on so I could kind of calm the grill down a little bit. But man alive, I may never buy another brand of charcoal ever. It was so good, and it smells heavenly. I love it. I don't do it that often.
Hot.
Yeah, it was smoking hot for sure. In fact, I, like a dope, went to pick up the tinfoil, which was holding my veggies, and move it off the heat a little bit. And of course, the tinfoil was smoking hot, and I might have let out a bit of a yell, but it was so worth it. And now I have leftover veggies on the grill. The steak is gone, of course. You want to know why the steak was so good, Chris?
Do tell.
Because it had horseradish dip to go along with. Oh, so good. Yeah, so I had a little bit of sour cream left in my container, and I was like, oh, we'll just make some horseradish dip. So I just dumped, I didn't even bother measuring, just dumped a bunch of horseradish in there, and the chives, and the white wine vinegar, and the salt, and voila.
Oh, my God, what just happened?
Exactly. It
now
was
I'm
like
hungry.
That for your senses. Well, steak and horseradish dip, or salmon and horseradish dip, so, so good. I actually noticed that a guy on our Facebook page who was kind of late to the party, he posted on the Ask Amy Anything message board, and he said, I tried making horseradish dip for the family and it was terrible. Can you please give me your recipe? So I need to try to get to him so that I can share that recipe. I feel like our next video version of Ask Amy Anything should include the horseradish dip.
Oh, we could have so much fun with that.
We could. We could do a taste test on camera, actually, and that would be fun. If you haven't seen the video version of Ask Amy, it's on our YouTube channel. It was our featured video last week, and I know a lot of you.
Where you been at?
If you've missed it, if you've been hiding under a rock, if you've been in Cuba with no Wi-Fi or internet access, there you go. 855-212-4227. Jim is listening in Massachusetts. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good. So I just wanted to talk about Danny Amendola and just his comments about Bill Belichick. I got to say, I've been a Patriots fan for quite some years now. And, you know, there's definitely been some drama. I mean, you know, you had Spygate, you had Deflategate, you had all that stuff. I've never seen drama like there's been with the Patriots this offseason. It's unbelievable.
It's not all internal. Some of it's external, which they can't control.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But the one thing I will say about Danny Amendola is that, you know, he came out and said that, you know, Adam Gase is trying to be, you know, one of the guys. And then, you know, he said, you know, playing for Bill Belichick was like playing for the school principal. Here's my comment to Danny Amendola. He really should just...
You're going to be clean about this?
Okay. No, yeah, of course I am. But he just really needs to be quiet now and just focus on playing, you know, down in Miami. I mean, you know, there's no need to rip the coach on the way out. This is, you know... This is somebody in, you know, Bill Belichick, who was winning Super Bowls long before you came along. I really think it's unnecessary. I mean, and by the way, just for the record, history will dictate this. You know, they say, oh, you know, so, the coaches who are, you know, really strict and whatever, you know, they really it's tough. But listen, here's the reality. History has dictated this. Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, coaches who push their players to get the most out of them, they did better than coaches who tried to be the player's best friend. That's just, you know, and again, that's just the reality. And again, you know, I don't know if, you know, Danny Amendola was just bitter because he didn't get a contract extension or, you know, whatever the case may be, or didn't get the money he wanted. But I mean, you know, listen, he was here long enough. He should have known the Patriot way by now. They pay based on what's going to happen in the future, not what you've done. And that's just the reality. So I think he needs to focus now on winning down in Miami. I do think the Patriots are still going to win the AFC East. I mean, that's just
okay,
the way.
Okay, so, Jan, let me just cut in here. First of all, he doesn't have to. I mean, he's not a member of the Patriots anymore, so I understand that maybe you don't like it. But at the same time, if he's not focused as a member of the Miami Dolphins, that actually benefits the Pats. So, I don't know. I mean, does it really matter? He doesn't have to. I understand what you're saying. You're just going to automatically chalk it up to he's bitter over not getting a contract. But maybe he just got asked a question and he felt like, for the first time in a really long time, he didn't have to keep a muzzle on, because that is also the Patriot way. You generally don't step out of line a whole lot with your comments. He has, let's be honest and fair, Jim, he has called Bill Belichick the greatest coach of all time. He's speaking about style, and he's not the first guy. And I understand what you're saying. He has a lot to be grateful for, playing with the Pats, being part of an incredible system, winning championships. But he's also out of that now and maybe enjoying the fact that his coach is not super strict, is not a guy that he can't be buddies with. And he's kind of liking that relationship with Adam Gase. It's just different. He didn't say it was better. He did say Belichick is the greatest ever. Just I can understand why some guys maybe enjoy a different relationship with a coach, too. It can be hard to operate under that system. As much as you win, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But can you also see my point why some people may be annoyed that he said that? Because that kind of looks like, and like you said, he said Belichick was one of the, you know, greatest coaches of all time. Well, that, you know, the record speaks for itself. But then to kind of come back and say what he said, don't you think that kind of
makes it... But why does it bother you so much? Who cares what he says now? He's not a member of the Pats. Now, this is a serious question. Well, I'm not being snarky. I'm asking, why does it bother you so much?
I mean... I can't listen. as a fan. I'm just on the outside looking in. It doesn't, you know, bother me that much what he's saying, but it's just, you know, wah, wah, wah. You know, he didn't get his contract extension. He should have just moved on and not said anything.
Okay, no matter what he says, you're just going to chalk it up to bitter. It can't actually be that he's telling the truth.
I'm sure he's telling the truth. I didn't.
You just don't want him to, though. You just don't want him to speak up.
Listen, everybody is entitled to what they want to say. There's no question about that. I mean, but, you know, I just feel like, you know, it would have been better. You know, there's so many free agents who have, you know, left here, whatever, been released, cut throughout the years. They've gone on to other teams, and most of them have said nothing. And I just feel like, you know, he needs to be a little bit more grateful towards this guy. Who, like you said, really helped him in his career. That's just the way, you know, that's just the way I look at it. But I also do agree with your take as well. You're absolutely right.
I feel like if he's not focused as a member of the Miami Dolphins, it's nothing but good for the Pats. I get what you're saying, Jim.
13-3. I don't know about. I got the three losses against Jacksonville. I got the loss against Green Bay, and I got the loss against Pittsburgh. I'm not sure if they're going to win a Super Bowl. I think that there's some teams in the NFC that are better than the Patriots. But when you look at, when you look up and down the AFC, and this is just in my opinion, I mean, obviously the Patriots are going to run away with the AFCs. There's no team that's going to compete with them. But then you look up and down the conference. I mean, you know, and again, maybe I'm just not thinking of this clearly, but which team do you think could give the Patriots a run for the number one seed? Because I really don't think there's that many teams out there right now that can.
I mean, I think that until someone takes that spot away from the Patriots, it's theirs, right? It's theirs to defend. Certainly, as you talk about, there's been a lot of turmoil, more than what we're used to from the Patriots. Jim, thank you so much for your call. I have to let you go because we're up to the top of the hour, but it was good to talk to you. The Pats have had more of the drama seep out. I mean, anytime you get that large of a group of people together, there are going to be personality conflicts. And so let's not kid ourselves and act like they all love each other and they all get along. It's just that they've all chosen to participate and do what is required and what is asked for the greater good of winning a Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that now and then you've got a guy who leaves there who says, yeah, that was tough. I mean, I'm glad we won it all, and he's the greatest coach of all time, but it wasn't always fun. I mean, maybe Patriots fans don't want him to be that honest, but it's not just about being bitter, though. Maybe he is disappointed, but he's allowed to tell the truth. The Patriots are still the team to beat. They are still the gold standard. They are still on top in the AFC. Now, I know they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, but I don't think anybody's looking at them and thinking, oh, that's going to be a cakewalk this season. No, they have not fallen off a cliff. There's been no precipice. It's still the Patriots with the bullseye on their backs. And so Danny Amendola, if he's yapping away and not focusing on football with the Dolphins, that kind of plays right into the hands of the Pats, no? And Bill Belichick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.